You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Our next Heineken Rivalry Week game on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the app is Wednesday night. It's known as the friendliest rivalry in sports. Minnesota United, the Loons hosting Sporting KC in St. Paul. Our coverage begins 8 Eastern, 7 Central. All right, before we start a new hour, we've got Big Perk, Kendrick Perkins, with us today. And Big Perk, we all had interesting reactions this morning. This is Nikola Jokic in his native Serbia, celebrating his new contract, which is the richest contract in NBA history. What do you think?
Hey, Greeny, team whack body. You know what whack body means? It's what? A body when you can't get cut up. That's what Team Jokic is. I had a whack body plan. At least he's able to take his shirt off now, Greeny.
He's got 300 million reasons to be dancing right now. He just signed a 6-year, $300 million fully get. How about the dance moves? You're satisfied with the moves there, Big Park?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Greeny, it's not my type of swag, but hey, big fella, 7 foot, he doing what he do. You know what I mean? I can't tell him how to celebrate when you got 300 million.
Here's what I can tell you. He's built like you, but he dances like me. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. One way or another, it works for him. All right, with that, we welcome you back to Get Up. We are live, as always, from the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase. We got a jam-packed crew this morning. Fowler is dancing. He's all excited because his rankings piece is up on ESPN.com. It's getting a lot of attention. He's got the good moves that are way better than me. All right, roll it. Let's get this thing started for hour number two. We are getting up with KD, who remains TBD. We'll tell you why the summer of discontent may just be getting started for that superstar. Meanwhile, we asked everyone who really matters to rank the quarterbacks. You're not going to believe which one of them did not make the top 10. That is on the way. Plus, the Hollywood drama, Russ and the King. Are they now not speaking to each other? And if so, what the actual heck does that mean for them and for Kyrie? We'll answer all those questions in this hour as we get up with you. Starting with the game of the night, the final night game of the weekend in baseball last night, Yankees and Red Sox at Fenway. Here we go. Top of one, no score. Aaron Judge is at first, and Giancarlo Stanton is in the right field seats. That's a two-run shot to give the Yanks the early 2-0 lead. Stanton's 22nd of the year. Now we go bottom five. Boston's down 6-4, but J.D. Martinez is at the plate, and J.D. Martinez is going long. That's the first pitch he sees. Drills it to right. His ninth of the year. We're tied at 6. Martinez 2-for-5. He's hitting .311. Bottom of 6 now. Aroldis Chapman in for the Yankees. Trevor Story at the plate. Story is going to lift one. G.J. LeMahieu, I should point out, is a 3-time Gold Glover at second base, but he can't hang on to that, and he's not happy as that one falls. But wait, there's more. Later in the inning, bases loaded, one out. Jeter Downs is in to pinch hit. He sends that one into shallow center field. Here comes LeMahieu, and again, he can't make the catch. A run comes around to score. Red Sox have their first lead of the game at 7-6. Bottom of 7 now, same score. Base is loaded, nobody out. Story, again, it might be, it could be. It isn't, but it's off the monster, and here we go. One run will score, two runs will score. What the heck, all three runs are gonna come around. Red Sox go on to win it by a final of 11-6. So after dropping the first two games of the series, Boston able to salvage a split. The Yankees still have the 14-game advantage in that division. And for the second straight night, we'll get to Durant and all that in just a moment, but the Yankees blowing a multi-run lead again. Okay, let's jump to Kevin Durant here. That was our next stop. Durant making his trade request a week and a half ago, and we are still waiting to see how that will play out. Could it wind up putting him back with the world champion Golden State Warriors? Well, that was raised with the Warriors owner, Joe Lacob, on the Athletics podcast. Here's what he had to say.
I'm not going to comment specifically on any player. You know, you've heard, you know what this answer is going to be, which is we will always look at any opportunities to make ourselves better, to try to win a championship. And if we thought it was something better to do for the team, we would do it. you know, we have to weigh short-term, long-term and all that. We have to weigh the financial obligations in both scenarios. But we will do all that and make the decision we feel is best.
All right, so that's what he said. And Steph Curry, of course, was asked about it. And he said the rumor mill and all that stuff is part of the nature of the NBA. You know how quickly things can change, but I like where we're at. Of course, where they're at right now is at the top of the heap. But all those things can change. Oh, there you are, guys. We got Nick Friedell, we got Brian Windhorst, and we are delighted to bring the big fella, Big Perk, into the conversation. And Perk, I actually want to start with you, and that's your former teammate, of course, in Kevin Durant. Before we dive into all the things that would have to happen in order for Kevin Durant to wind up Golden State, I guess I would ask you, should they want them to, which is to say, should the Warriors want to give up basically all of their good young players to bring Durant back, and should Durant want to go back?
You, here it is, Greeny. Although Golden State, I believe, have the most assets and young players that would actually attract the Brooklyn Nets to trade Kevin Durant, why should they want KD back? Look, the Golden State Warriors are one of the few teams right now that can still contend and win championships and build for the future with the young core that they have in Kuminga and Moses Moody, James Wiseman, you know, those guys, even Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole. Now, if you're KD, it's nowhere in hell you want to go back to the Warriors. If KD went back to the Warriors, I think it would tarnish his legacy forever. Forever. He cannot go back to the Warriors. Not the team you left that you already had won two championships with to go team up with Kyrie Irving, and then it didn't happen, and then it didn't work out for you, and all of a sudden you go back and team up with them after they just delivered a championship, his legacy will be tarnished forever. It's nowhere in hell, if I'm Kevin Durant, that I go back to the Golden State Warriors.
It's a fascinating point, because you wouldn't think Durant could pick a worse time to go to Golden State than he did before, but now it might actually be even worse from a legacy standpoint than it was when he joined them after the 73 wins. All of that said, Windy, so Perk is basically saying the Warriors shouldn't want to do it, and Durant shouldn't want to do it. Yet the talk doesn't seem to want to go away, and it doesn't feel, to me at least, like it's based in nothing. It doesn't feel like it's rooted in just pure conjecture on people's part. So what gives?
It is not. There have been some discussions within the Warriors organization about it. And with everything Joe Lacob and Steph Curry there, I didn't hear the word no. I didn't hear the word no. And the reason that's interesting is because a year ago when Ben Simmons was floated as a possible spot for a player that the Warriors would go after, Joe Lacob went on a podcast and said, "We are not interested in Ben Simmons," for which he was fined $50,000, which is why he wouldn't say anyone's name on this podcast. But you didn't hear the word no like you did last year. Now, do I think it is likely? No, I do not think it is likely. It is difficult because of how much money it would cost. Joe Lacob on this podcast also talked about his concerns over how high the Warriors' salary is getting. Also, the issue is that if you trade Andrew Wiggins, who would have to be involved in this type of deal, he can't be on the roster at the same time as Ben Simmons. So that makes it sticky. But I can't sit here and responsibly tell you that it is impossible.
All right. And so, again, I set this up for those who don't know. Friedell, you've been around KD now several years in a row. You covered him at the end of his tenure in Golden State. You've been with him in Brooklyn through all of this. So the idea that KD has to be traded comes from him, right? He's requested a trade. I guess there's a fine line between requested and demanded. One way or another, it appears that's the direction he wants it to go. But you're there in Vegas right now at the Summer League. What does everyone generally expect to happen with KD and when?
They don't expect him in Golden State, Green. And I think that's crucial to point out. I've covered that last year in Oakland. And that 3 years, that time had run its course on both sides with the Warriors and with Kevin. It's not to say it's impossible, because Joe Lacob is one of the most competitive owners in sports, and Steph Curry and Draymond and Klay Thompson badly want to win. But I'd add this for context, and I think it's really important here. I was with the Warriors at the beginning of the season for the first 3 months, and the coaching staff and the front office, they loved two things aside from Steph being awesome. They loved the fact that this team was really deep, and the younger players were coming along, the Kamingas, the Moody's, Wiseman played here last night. and he looked pretty good. But they loved that everybody was on the same page and there was no drama. And as fantastic of a player as Kevin Durant still is in this league, what's inarguable over these last few years, dating back to his time in Golden State, even at the end of that Thunder tenure, the drama follows Kevin. And when you're that talented, you understand to a point, but they don't need him. And that's the difference right now. The Warriors have what they need in place. They have the young core coming behind Steph, and they don't have to have Kevin to get them over the top the way they needed him a few years ago.
Go ahead, Big Perk.
You're grinning. I heard Nick say drama, right? And this comes to my next point. I'm going to repeat this. It's what going on about 3 weeks now, and Kevin Durant is still on the market after requesting a trade. This is crazy to me. And I understand, Wendy, you going to come on here and say, well, Perk, with how things work, it takes time. We're talking about Kevin Durant, arguably the best basketball player on the planet. If Michael Jordan, back in the 90s, requested a trade from the Chicago Bulls, do you know he probably would have been traded the next day?
What do you think, Wendy? I mean, that is a point. You were saying earlier that the Nets are not getting the return that they were expecting.
Yeah, Perk, I don't think it has to do with their evaluation of him as a player. I think it has to do with the evaluation of the price. You know, anybody who's buying anything, you want a good price on it, especially if you pay a big cost and then it affects your ability to have Durant on a championship team. I've compared this to buying houses. If you have to sell your house to buy a car, and even if it's a Lamborghini like Durant is, that defeats the purpose of the trade. So you have teams out there that could trade an incredible package for Durant, but are not championship contenders. Then you have teams that are championship contenders that if they would pay the price that the Nets would ask, wouldn't be championship contenders on the other side of it. So let's just go back, Perk, to the Kawhi Leonard trade. And I realize it's not apples to apples because Kawhi Leonard only had 1 year on his deal and was probably going to walk if he wasn't traded to L.A. That trade played out over the course of weeks and weeks and weeks. And ultimately, the deal that the Spurs took was a deal that Toronto had that wasn't for what we thought it was going to get traded for. Because the value that they have, that what the teams are offering, is way below what the Nets want. And those teams believe that value will come down and down and down, which is why the Nets have reacted to the market by saying, we're going to keep him, or we're thinking about keeping him. It's all a negotiation at this point. Yeah. It's not a judgment on Durant, the player. It's a judgment on price.
Go ahead, Perk.
Yeah, but first of all, Greeny, Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant are in two different atmospheres. That's the first thing. The second thing, you know what it goes to show me? How the rest of the league value the young and upcoming stars and superstars, that they're willing not to depart. Because think about this for a second. Kevin Durant is still locked in for another, 4 or 5 years under his contract? So if you are a team and you do decide to trade for him, so what if you don't win it or go for the whole thing next year? You still have Kevin Durant on your roster for the next 4 or 5 years that maybe you could get another star, another package deal to say, you know what? It may take us a year to get what we want. But again, Kevin Durant is still on the market. It makes no sense to me.
Okay, I'm going to leave this here for the moment. But I'm coming back to all of this. And I just want everyone to consider, and we will do this again a little later in the hour, have you all answer the following question. Why wouldn't you just try this one more time if you're the Nets? The best solution, you have Kyrie opted in for 1 year. You're going to get out of this problem in 1 year anyway. You have Durant under contract for 4 more years. You haven't even seen what you could do with Ben Simmons yet. The best solution to me, it seems, and I've been gone 2 weeks, so I'm just finally getting a chance to say this, the best solution is try running it back in Brooklyn and see what might happen. Let's pause on that thought. We'll see if all of you think I'm nuts as we continue in this hour. It's probably an easy decision to come to. Meanwhile, as we continue, so Fowler put together this rankings, right? He got the entire NFL talking about who the best quarterbacks are, and that guy's not on the list, and that isn't the reason he seems upset today. You got to catch up on all the Lamar Jackson drama. Plus, speaking of drama, we got it out in Hollywood. Are LeBron and Westbrook now not speaking? What in the world does that mean? We'll get to the bottom of it all. The football conversation continues. Neek is with us this morning. Oh, and so is Ryan jump in. The fun continues as we get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Come on, get up. After a couple of years of Aaron Rodgers drama, he is still the Packers QB, but he doesn't have his favorite target to throw to anymore. How will he overcome the loss of Devontae Adams? Do the Packers have a plan, or is it a beautiful mystery? We search for answers as we travel around NFL training camps on Get Up.
Well, I'm intrigued. In the meantime, Jeremy Fowler has put together a survey of league executives and coaches, scouts and players, the people whose opinions matter. And they have found that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL. They ranked them all, and they've got Rodgers 1. They got Patrick Mahomes falling to number 2 after having been at the top for consecutive seasons. And then the dual threat superstar Josh Allen coming in at number 3. Those are, in the view of the people who matter, the top 3 quarterbacks in the NFL, with Tom Brady at number 4. That's sort of your Mount Rushmore, and I don't think anyone necessarily argues with that. And then you look at the rest of the top 10 here, and what should jump out at you as you digest this for a moment is that Lamar Jackson, who was the MVP of this league 3 years ago, is not listed amongst the top 10 quarterbacks. For the record, he's number 11. But that's not what seems to have him upset these days. If you take a look at Lamar Jackson's Twitter page right now, it looks like this. He has changed the photo on his Twitter to a set of grills that say, "I need money." Now, I don't know everything, but I do know that is a not so subtle message to the entire world that things may not be going as well in Baltimore with his negotiations as most people seem to think. So we got Fowler in here this morning. We got Dominique, and we got RC with us this morning here. And so we got Ninko. We got the whole squad is together. But RC, welcome. It's been too long, and I'm delighted to see you. What do you make of that? When you just first saw that, you first saw that picture from Lamar that he put up there with the grills, what was your first reaction?
Duh. Like, are we confused about this? First of all, anybody in the world that says this, I agree. Having more money may bring more problems, but it brings an easier way to pay all your bills and eat. So anybody who says that, I agree with you, you need money. But especially in Lamar Jackson's situation, he's a guy going into the last year of a contract. He's a guy who's a former MVP. Let's think about all the quarterbacks before him that are around his time. Josh Allen got his money. Patrick Mahomes got his money. Those are the only guys to me that are in his stratosphere. And obviously, I'm not an exec or a GM or a head coach or any of these dummies that put this top 10 list together. Lamar Jackson should be paid. Lamar Jackson should have been paid already. I don't understand if it's not having an agent, if it's Lamar not coming to the table, if they're actually haggling over a dollar amount. But Lamar Jackson should already be paid, and Lamar Jackson shouldn't step foot into Baltimore, Maryland without having his name to the paper and getting whatever it is guaranteed for the life of the contract.
I really like that thought. I've been waiting for someone to say it. And so, Fowler, let me come to you on that, because the shoe that we've been waiting for to drop in this scenario is for Lamar to go public with his unhappiness about it, right? That's the one thing we have not had in all of this. It's all been kind of friendly as they've walked down this path of not having a deal done. Well, maybe this changes that yesterday. So what do we know?
We know that they've been talking, but it's been slow. This is a slow time of year, too. So this is a nudge maybe from Lamar, whether it's unintended or not, to say, hey, let's get going here before training camp. Talk should intensify around them. But I spoke to somebody with the Ravens who said that they're not panicking. Lamar Jackson isn't panicking. They will continue to just chip away at a deal. Ravens are not afraid to franchise tag him in 2023. So this could drag on, because I'm hearing Lamar Jackson has great resolve here. Like, he's not going to take any sort of below market deal. He needs something commensurate with his skill set as a former MVP.
Neek, that's your team. So get this thing done here. What is going on with the Ravens?
I mean, I think this is why you don't wait to pay your quarterback when you got a quarterback. Because what happened for them is the market changed. When Deshaun Watson got that deal, everything changed. I imagine that they had their minds and their hearts set on a deal, and they were haggling here and there. Something similar to the rest of the deals were out there. And then Deshaun Watson got a fully guaranteed deal. And I imagine, I'm assuming again, that Lamar Jackson was like, you know what? I'm just as good or better. I have an MVP. He don't got one of those. And also, do not come with the baggage of 22 sexual assault allegations. Give me the same contract or better, because I am that valuable. So I think this is just that point that they should have learned. And it seems like most teams have a hard time understanding this. Is when you have a franchise quarterback, don't mess around. It's only going to get more expensive the longer you wait.
Go ahead, Fowler, real quick.
So those dummies that ranked him 11th overall, like, the Ravens don't care about that, because he fits what they do, right? Like, he fits their offense better than anybody else. The one thing they do care about, though, and this will come up in negotiations, is the durability factor.
Right.
Like, long-term, can he sustain himself? That's why the Ravens are not afraid to do this year-to-year with the franchise tags. If they have to, make him earn it over time.
I got to get Ninko in. RC, go ahead,
The dummies.
Lamar doesn't fit what the Ravens do. Lamar is what the Ravens do. That's right. Why it's mind-boggling to me that he's not in the top 10. He's not a system quarterback, because he is the system. This is.
I know, but let's not act like he was a great passer.
No, that's a good point. No, but they made their decision. They made the decision to go all in on what he does well. And once you do that, then you find yourself here. You can't do what you do without him doing it. No one else in history has ever been able to do it. Ninko, go.
I have a feeling that the Ravens feel like me searching for gas. And that's driving around, and I look, and I'm like, oh, I got a half tank. I'm just going to wait a little bit. It'll be the same price. And then they look, and they go, dang it, I should have filled up yesterday. I should have paid him yesterday. Because the price just keeps going up. The price just keeps going up. So if I'm Lamar, I'm like, all right. The price is going up. I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to keep doing me. I'm going to keep balling and playing, and then I'm going to get paid. And he's going to get paid now. And the price has gone up.
RC, what was that shimmy from?
Give me
from
a
Nick
final
there.
RC, final word, shimmy. Go.
The final word is this. Worth every single penny he could ever ask for. No one does more for an offense. No one is more for an offense. No one has changed the team like that Lamar did in 1 year, from what Joe Flacco was into what he made that team as a playoff team. And they've been consistently winning ever since, and it's because of him. Whether it's run, whether it's pass, if you want to haggle over style, if you want to haggle over scheme, you can do that. But the proof is in the pudding, and it's on the grass. He's a former MVP. Give him that dough. He's earned it.
And now
half the people
spoken.
In that building wouldn't have been there if he didn't start playing well. They were talking about moving on from that coaching staff. He saved jobs. Anybody in there who's like, nah, Lamar, maybe we shouldn't give you that. He should go back to them and look at the extension they built on their house and say, you welcome. The price, yesterday's price, is not today's price.
It's today's price.
Yeah. All right. I got to leave it there for the moment. We're coming back with much more on this as we go, and much more on the basketball as we continue as well. We have to answer this question. Are LeBron and Russell Westbrook now no longer on speaking terms? We will show you the interaction that sent Twitter into a frenzy as we roll on. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and again, our favorite video of the day is a shirtless Nikola Jokic celebrating signing the biggest contract in NBA history in his native Serbia. Ryan Clark, you are the only one who's not had a chance to weigh in. What are your thoughts on this dance?
Listen, the first thing is, look how slim and trim my guy looks. That's what it looked like when you get dang near 30 mil guaranteed. And Lil Gritty, he down here from New Orleans, but this is the Serbian Gritty right here. Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, all of the boys are proud that he brought it overseas, and now everybody can see what we're doing over here in America. Listen, you give me that much guaranteed, I'm going to dance around fires, I'm going to dance around water. Any other natural disasters or natural elements you could bring, I'm going to dance around them too. He should be happy as hell for the rest of his life. I dance onto the court. You know he ain't going to dunk, but he going to lay it up and slap the backboard and work back down. All right, man. You live your life, man.
Let the record show. It's a $300 million guaranteed contract. 6 years, $300 mil for Nikola Jokic. So he's celebrating. Meanwhile, the Lakers are trying to figure out what the heck they're going to do as they go forward. And there was this huge thing on Twitter over the weekend. All of a sudden, I'm sure at one point you were looking and you were seeing this, that Russell Westbrook and LeBron James were at the same Summer League game. They were at the Lakers Summer League game over the weekend, but they weren't sitting together. They didn't appear to interact in any conceivable way. They left separately, and the whole world, because we live in the world in which we live, no one's going to let that not turn into a very big deal. So let's get into it again. RC and Nick are here to weigh in on this. We got Windy and we got Big Perk. Let me just start with you, Big Perk. I'm reading the look on your face. What, when you first saw that, when you saw LeBron and Russell in the gym together and not talking to each other, what was your reaction?
First of all, let me give you my reaction. Let me give you my reaction of the Lakers overall, okay, Greeny? Yeah. And listen, you have to excuse my voice. I've been yelling at AAU games all weekend, okay? Uh-huh. Here's the thing. My grandmother used to say, baby, some of these people don't know if they coming or going. And that's what the Lakers are at this moment. This is why I say this, okay? When I look at the Russell Westbrook situation, all right, I applaud Russell Westbrook. Because if I knew that the organization that I'm signed to right now is trying to actively trade me for Kyrie Irving, there's nowhere in hell that I'm even around any one of them. Now, here's the thing. Russ actually wants out because he know that the Lakers want Kyrie Irving. And we all know that the Lakers want Russ out and that they want Kyrie Irving. And I said this last week that they have to be very, very careful that if they don't get Kyrie Irving, how are they going to get Russell Westbrook to buy back in and to get the best version of himself after what he displayed and how the fans reacted and what he went through last year while playing for the Lakers?
Well, Windy, it's pretty easy, right? They've said they want him to be a screener and a corner three shooter, which neither of which are a part of his skill set, right? So, Windy, is this what's going to happen here, right? I mean, the world has already traded Westbrook for Kyrie, right? The Twitter has moved past that. But is it actually going to happen?
You know, what I have to say about this game is that I don't know what was going through Russ and LeBron's head. I'm not going to try, but I know that every Laker who was in the building, you saw the video of Darvin Ham and Rob Pelinka coming over. every other Laker in the building came over to say hello to LeBron, because that's what you do when he's in the building. Even Leon Rose, the president of the Knicks, who LeBron fired as his agent a decade ago, came over to say hello. And his teammate, and if you remember a year ago, everything LeBron and Westbrook did, they were like absolutely arm in arm throughout the entire lead up to the season. So there's no doubt that you can see the erosion of their relationship here. We know that Westbrook, at the end of the season, talked about how he felt LeBron and Anthony Davis gave lip service in letting him play his game. We also know that, of course, LeBron wants the roster upgraded to include Kyrie Irving, and that means Russell Westbrook. This is all on the table, and you're seeing the chill that is in the air right now in July before we get even to training camp in September. The challenge of this situation is that Russell Westbrook has no market and Kyrie Irving has no market, and the trade for each other doesn't make either team happy. And so we are going to sit here and watch this play out.
I wanted to get RC and Dominique in on this because it's just endlessly fascinating in so many different ways. And RC, as one who has basically committed the last dance to memory, as I know you have, you understand the way championships in the NBA work, and this doesn't feel like it. What do you think of this whole thing?
Well, first off, guys, I would be more concerned if LeBron James and Mrs. Savannah James were at a game and didn't talk to each other and didn't sit together, because that's how, guys, that's how we're acting right now. Listen, you can read whatever you want to into their interaction, but the truth is the truth. Russell Westbrook did not play well there last year. Russell Westbrook did not fit with what LeBron James wanted to do. But I thought, at least in my estimation, in my small basketball mind, I thought we knew that before the season. I thought we knew that when the trade was made from the Washington Wizards. And now when it doesn't work, everybody wants to be mad. We want to change relationships. We want to sit in different places. No, we know that the Lakers have to improve this roster. And part of that improvement in LeBron James's mind is getting Kyrie Irving. Anybody who's known anything about Russell Westbrook knows that's not going to sit well with him, knows he don't play game, knows that he doesn't fake. So why am I going to fake a Kiki, a hee-hee, and shoo-shoo all in your face when I know what you want? And that's what Russell Westbrook is doing. I respect
Nick. Nick, go ahead.
No,
I demand
that the producer stop showing that shot that hits the side of the backboard. That's just rude. Like, he hit the side of the backboard one time. And y'all keep showing that nonsense like it's representative of Russell as a player.
One time?
That's not fair. And, okay, a couple times, but not enough times to keep showing it like it's representative. But I do think that I understand RC saying like a small basketball mind, but this story is no longer about basketball to me, because it's about ego. And we all understand how big these guys' egos are, and they deserve it. They deserve having these huge ego. He's a former MVP. So the idea of trying to get everyone to coexist after going through the season that they have in the offseason, like if I'm Russ too, I'm thinking I'm a damn MVP. I'm not going to go walk over and kiss the ring of LeBron James, who is actively, at least presumably, actively trying to get me moved. So yeah, that makes sense. What they're going to do when the season comes around, I don't know if it matters, because if they're all happy and playing as well as they possibly can, it's still not a championship contender. It's just the way it is.
So we said that earlier, but Perk, go ahead, go. Big Perk, go.
And see, this is where it comes to part when we talk about the quote-unquote NBA brotherhood, okay? See, what happened was last year, this Russell Westbrook situation is about 50% blame on LeBron James, because LeBron James signed off and actually wanted Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook and LeBron James are close friends, or were close friends. I don't know the status of their situation, but I do know this. When it comes down to winning, and it comes down to the betterment of the team and making a business decision, the one thing I know about LeBron James, he don't give a damn about feelings. He want to win. And if that means having to trade one of his close friends or quote-unquote brother, he is going to do that. And look, I can't be mad at Russell Westbrook for actually being mad. I'm mad at Russell Westbrook for actually showing up and attending Lakers events like Summer League, like the hiring of Darvin Ham, knowing that they're trying to trade you. Like, I'm not showing up to nothing. Matter of fact, get me out of here.
Very quickly, Big Perk, because I didn't get to ask you this question. Should LeBron want that? Like, LeBron Kyrie and AD and whatever pieces they wind up putting around that, is that enough to make them a legit championship contender in the West? I just have a minute.
Absolutely, yes, Greeny. And let me explain why. 33-13 is LeBron James and Kyrie Irving record when they play together in the postseason. Mm. The last time we saw Kyrie Irving play elite, consistent basketball was alongside LeBron James. Look, he is the perfect complementary player, not only to LeBron, but Anthony Davis, not just because of his scoring, but his efficiency at that position. So, yes, it absolutely makes them a contender in top three in my eyes.
All right, we'll come back to this. We have so much to do. It's just a fascinating, endlessly interesting situation in the NBA. But we'll jump back to the NFL for just a moment as we continue right after this. We're back to our quarterback rankings. And the Mount Rushmore of the NFL right now is kind of, it feels like it's kind of set. We know who those four guys are. The question is, which of them has the best chance to win the Super Bowl this coming year? We'll answer that question in just a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
And it is that time once again where I will propose a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions to this man, Dominic Foxworth, and he's got to answer them all. Here we go. So we've been looking at Jeremy Fowler's top 10 quarterback rankings today. Again, these come from executives and coaches and scouts and players. And those are the top 10 names right there. Give me a quarterback who a year from now is going to be on this top 10 list.
I think I'm going to say Trey Lance. Like, it feels like it might be a stretch considering he didn't play at all last year, but I'm expecting a big season out of Trey Lance, his first year starting. It might be a bit of a stretch to look back to Patrick Mahomes, the kind of last first round pick to take his first year off and jump in. So he won't have a season like that, but I do think he has a really impressive season. He gets himself in the top 10 on that impressive offense and that really talented defensive front. It's going to take a lot of pressure off of him, and his dual threat ability, I think, is going to be dangerous.
Wow, I like it. And if by Trey Lance you mean Zach Wilson, I agree with you completely. All right, the next. Joe Burrow is currently right outside the top four at number 5. Is he on the verge of making that leap into putting himself on the NFL quarterback Mount Rushmore this year?
Yeah, I can't say he is. The top four, you look at those guys, it's going to be hard to knock any of them off of Mount Rushmore. And then you look at all the names behind them. It's really hard to pick any one quarterback that shouldn't be in that top four. And then it's even harder to pick any one quarterback that can make that leap into the top four. There's so many really good quarterbacks. And also, good quarterbacks in good situations. Like, I can see Russell Wilson having an MVP season in his new situation. The same is true of Herbert. Stafford could have another impressive season, even better than last season, being comfortable in his situation. So, no, Herbert's going to still be outside, or excuse me, Burrow's going to still be outside of the top four.
Maybe both of them. And then that brings us back to that Mount Rushmore. So, you got the four guys who played each other in that golf event. You got Rodgers, you got Mahomes, you got Allen, you got Brady. Which of the four would you bet on to win the whole thing this year?
I think I have to go with Rodgers. He's losing a top target, and so is Mahomes. So maybe they'll be a little bit dwindled by not having that. And then Allen gets to keep Diggs, so they're going to be in good shape. But it seems like you have to pick an NFC team, because if you go to AFC, you have to pick the field. Picking any single quarterback in the AFC, as loaded as it is, feels like a fool's errand. So I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. I guess you could go with Tom Brady. I don't have a good argument against Tom Brady other than he got too many. Like, it just, he got seven of them already. Just stop. Like, I just can't see it happening one more time, which may be a ridiculous way to go about this, but he can't keep defying Father Time and breaking all of our records, and he can't win eight? Eight? That's ridiculous. No, well, it's not going to happen.
There was a time when five was the, you know, the insurmountable number. So, I mean, for him, these things just keep going. Fowler, give us a quick thought on all this as far as that's concerned. Those big four, which is the next one, or which one wins the championship this coming year? What would you think people would say?
So the data I got from polling people around the league, I think will
inform, because it was Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes were pretty close at 1 and 2. Rodgers got him with the most first place votes. After that, there was a big drop off, but a tie between Josh Allen and Tom Brady. So to me, that's sort of how it all breaks down. Allen got the tiebreaker because long-term, teams think he's just too dangerous. Great runner, great passer. That's where the league is going. But Tom Brady still is the most revered on this entire list.
All right, so again, we got the big four, and we figure it out. Ninko, who you got? Which one of that group is going to win the championship this year?
Let me take a quick sip of my coffee. I'm going Josh Allen. I'm going Josh Allen on this one. I got the friend coffee cup here. I know Tom, listen, everyone's going to say, Nico's going to go Tom Brady. You see, Nico's going to go Tom Brady. No, I'm not going Tom Brady. Not going Tom Brady on this one. So I'm going Josh Allen. I think he's got it this year. Last year, we saw the playoff issue. Now they got the playoff rules because of last year in the Buffalo Bills. So the Buffalo Bills are going to have the confidence. I think Josh Allen's going to be the quarterback to get it done.
RC, how about you? Which one you got?
I'm going with Josh Allen as well. I think he just has the better team. It's not about who's the best quarterback. It's about the quarterback that's good enough, that's surrounded by the right type of people. You add a pass rusher defensively. Kyir Elam is your first-round draft pick. Tre'Davious White coming back at corner. You obviously have a great linebacker in Edmonds. You add a running back in Cook. And we know that Stephon Diggs is back after we saw Gabriel Davis extension and leveling up last year. So I think that this team is ready to win a championship, and their quarterback is going to lead them there.
Okay, and the only thing I'll say is this. I don't know everything, but I have been around the NFL a long time. And if there's one thing I figured out, it's if the question is who's going to win the Super Bowl, the answer is Tom Brady. That's just the way this thing has gone for the last 20 years or so. So I'm not going to be the one who doesn't pick him. I mean, give me that mug. I want the friend mug at this point. Nico, he's gonna disown you, and he's going to adopt me as his new friend this year because I got Brady as the guy to win. All right, we have much more to do here. And then First Take's going to take over about 10 minutes from now here on ESPN. Should the Warriors be interested in a KD reunion? And would trading for Kyrie make the Lakers contenders? First Take answering those questions and more. Top of the hour here on ESPN. I want that mug. All right, don't miss the action tonight in NBA Summer League triple header for you, starting 7 Eastern with the Pacers and Kings. That'll be followed by the young stars, Paolo Banchero and Chet Holmgren, as the Magic take on the Thunder. And then the final games on ESPN2, the Knicks and Blazers. All the action can also be seen on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, as we bring up the now legendary meme of Brian Windhorst and put Kevin Durant on Windy Watch, the big question around the entire sport right now is when and if Kevin Durant is going to be traded away from Brooklyn. And if so, how exactly is that going to work? Wendy, what are we watching?
Yeah, the first 10 days of the trade negotiations, Greeny, was just total sticker shock in the league at what the Nets were expecting for Durant. The teams that feel like they can be contenders for him just don't think they can trade as much as the Nets are asking. And the other teams that have kicked the tires have just been stunned at what the Nets have been asking. So there's been a bit of a pullback as they've waited for everything to settle down. The league is about to go on vacation after the conclusion of Summer League, and this could be something that's picked up later in August, because right now what the selling price is and the buying price are two different versions. And as I talk to teams, the 4 years on his contract is not necessarily being viewed as an asset. If he was 24 instead of 34, I think it would be looked at differently.
That's interesting. I mean, there's so many wrinkles in all this that make it fascinating to me. And so as we bring Dominique and Nick Friedel back into the conversation, Friedel, let me go back to what I brought up at the very beginning of this hour. And that is, if I'm running the Brooklyn Nets right now, and far worse things could happen to them, I would assume, than that, then I would look at it this way. I've got Kevin Durant. I've got Kyrie Irving for exactly one more year. I have no idea what I'm going to get out of Ben Simmons, but I traded for him thinking it might be outstanding. Why wouldn't I try and run this thing one time, see if I can win a championship, and if I don't, then I still have Durant as a trade asset a year from now, and I can give up on this thing a year from now after I know for sure it won't work. What part of that is it that doesn't make sense, Friedel?
Greeny, there is still hope internally that that's exactly what could happen, especially regarding KD. Perk was asking earlier in the show, why hasn't this just happened? The reason it hasn't happened is because Brooklyn is not moving Kevin Durant right now with all the time on their side unless they get back exactly what they want. And when you talk to league executives out here, they say this thing could stretch on for several months, potentially into the season, because nobody views Kevin as the type of player who would sit out and say, I'm not coming to work. I'm not going to do this. So the reason everything is slowed is because this thing could take a long time. And the hope is inside that organization that the longer it takes, that maybe Kevin pulls back a little bit and says, hey, I really do like it here. I like the team that is around me. Maybe Simmons is going to get healthy, potentially bring Kyrie back and see what happens. Although I don't think that is actually going to happen when training camp starts. But Greeny, the reason why this hasn't moved with a fast pace is because the Nets have leverage in the time that it takes to make all these things happen before the season.
So, Nick, you are, if nothing else, my relationship expert. So help me with this. I mean, you got to make the Durant thing work. You got to make the Kyrie thing work. You got to make the Simmons thing work. I fully understand there are a lot of balls in the air here. But what?
Well, you said, why wouldn't they just run it back? Because they were here last year. I think Nick started by saying it was one of the most depressing organizations to be around earlier in the first hour at the end of that season. Yes, if I'm Joe Tsai, I got billions of dollars. I do not want to take years off my life worrying about KD and Kyrie Irving again after we saw what happened last year. So maybe there's a possibility that all of a sudden they become brand new people and they just want to conform and all they care about is making the team happy. But I doubt it. So that's why you don't run it back. And that's why you try to get as much as you can while you can. And I understand the point that maybe the time on the contract makes them feel like they have leverage, but nobody, every year that goes by, like Kevin Durant gets a little bit less valuable. And so trying to move him as soon as possible, I feel like you can get the best value at some point. Maybe someone gets hurt and early in the season before the trade deadline, and then you can really, really like leverage a team. But if they hold on to him for a whole nother season, I don't see them having as much leverage as they have now to get what they want.
Wendy, wrap it up with this, because first take's coming up in 30 seconds. Is there a better chance that Kyrie plays this coming season with Kevin Durant or with LeBron James?
I think Durant and Kyrie are only playing together this year in pickup games, which they did last week in L.A. I hope they enjoyed it.
Okay, fair enough. So there you have it. Friedel, outstanding work this morning. Thank you for getting up early from out there in Vegas. Wendy, we will talk on my radio show in about 20 minutes because we have a lot to catch up on. I will be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds. But the fun and conversation continues right here with First Take right now.